darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Once again, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. I am not Abraham Hamilton III, but I'm happy to be E.W. Jackson. So, an honor to stand in once again for my dear friend. And great to be with all of you once again today here on American Family Radio. And as always, I want to thank all of you for your prayers and your support. I'll tell you, I am so grateful to God for this network because, again, this is one of those places, and there aren't very many, you could probably count them on one hand, where Christians can come on and actually express ourselves in accordance with the Word of God without fear of being censored or told that you can't say that, you can't read that scripture, you can't, you might offend somebody. Where First Amendment liberty is actually honored. So I am just grateful to God, grateful to the Wildman family, to Brother Don, of course, who pioneered this effort, and grateful to the Wildman family and to all the staff and the supporters, contributors, volunteers for American Family Association and the entire constellation of organizations and ministries that are under that aegis. So God bless each and every one of you. Now, I want to say I hope you had a wonderful weekend, but boy, the one coming up is a doozy because we are going to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the United States of America this coming weekend. And I hope you are ready. I preached a sermon on Sunday entitled 250 Years, Grievance or Gratitude. And I talked about the fact that we seem to be divided in our country right now between those who don't celebrate our country any longer, if they ever did, don't love our country, don't honor our flag, and have nothing but horrible things to say about the United States of America. That group of people, and those of us who are grateful to God for this nation. You know, I was talking to a fellow host on American Family Radio and a great friend of mine, Alex McFarlane, who I'm sure all of you know. You listen to American Family Radio. And, you know, we were talking about the fact that, you know, you have these people, they say they see the flag and it triggers them. It makes them wonder. They start to get uncomfortable. And he and I were just looking at each other saying, and man, we see the flag and we hear the national anthem and we almost come to tears of joy, just gladness. God, thank you that I'm an American. Thank you that I get to live in this wonderful country and enjoy the liberties that are honored in this country because we're the only nation on earth that is acknowledged that our liberty and our fundamental rights come from Almighty God. They are not the grant of human beings. They are not the vote of a majority, but they are the gift of Almighty God. Man, I tell you, I am serious about this, folks. Every day of my life, I am grateful to be an American and grateful for this nation. And of course, my patriotism grows out of my love for God and my appreciation of the fact that God is the one who made me an American. I didn't choose it. God gave it to me and gave me one of the greatest gifts any human being can be given, short of salvation. Because the Bible says in Acts 17:26, he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and determine their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, that they might seek the Lord and grope for him so that they might find him. And what better place on earth to seek the Lord than the United States of America? There's no better place on earth. That's it. And we are blessed to be here. You talk about privilege, all this nonsense these people spew about white privilege. And, you know, I was talking to another friend of mine about, you know, how he grew up and some of the struggles. He happens to be an American of European ancestry, and he was saying, you know, somebody was telling him about white privilege. He said, well, man, where do I go to get it? You know, where do I go to find it? You know, talking about growing up, you know, eating mayonnaise sandwiches and just struggling to get enough food in your belly that you could go to bed without being hungry, people talking about white privilege. But I'll tell you what is a privilege. Being an American is a privilege. I mean, that is, we have a higher standard of living than any nation on earth for the average citizen. Look, our poor people watch big screen TVs, live in air-conditioned apartments and sometimes houses, drive nice cars, and wear decent clothes, and frankly are often obese because they get plenty to eat. So, you know, man, I'll tell you, it is. I am grateful to God, and I'm sure you all are too, for living in this wonderful nation. In fact, I was reflecting on this. You know, we had a terrible tragedy. We, meaning the world, suffered a terrible tragedy with this earthquake in Venezuela. Jesus said there would be earthquakes in diverse places. This is a bad one. This is a bad one. I think 1,700 people dead at this point, and probably many, many more by the time this thing is all over. But you know what came to mind? Who do you think is the greatest single contributor to international disaster relief in the world? Yeah, take a guess. The country that the world loves to hate, the country that the world loves to denounce, but we are the greatest single contributor to the well-being and the rescue of people when any international disaster happens anywhere in the world. And I tell you, I'm gratified by that. That's the country I love. And I don't care what people say. You know, Barack Obama's famous apology tour. I said, we don't owe the world an apology. The world owes us a debt of thanks. The world should be saying, thank you, America. You know, we contribute 40%. We're 4% of the population of the world, but we can contribute 40% overall, 40 to 50% of all the humanitarian assistance that takes place around the world. And by the way, our government spends on a disaster relief anywhere from $40 to $70 billion a year. But guess what? The American people match that. In other words, individuals like you and me across this country, when we see suffering around the world, we contribute to help people as much as our government does out of our budget. So that means we're giving, as Americans, $100 billion a year, or thereabouts. I mean, that's not an exact number because it'll vary from year to year depending on what's happening. But I would say on average about $100 billion a year, about half of that coming from our government and half of it coming from us. And people have the nerve to put down our country. And you better go find somebody else to talk to. You don't, because you are really getting on the wrong side of me. And, you know, I remember years ago, folks, I was still living in Boston. I stopped at, there's a famous newsstand right in the middle of Cambridge, Massachusetts, right across the street from Harvard. I lived in the area, and we used to pass there on the way from church. And I would usually pass there on the way from church and buy the Sunday newspaper. You know, that's when we were all reading paper newspapers. And there was some guy, he was a Middle Easterner, I don't know where he was from, but he was standing there and just sort of muttering to himself, America, America, you know, and this country. And I'm standing there looking for my newspaper. I finally just spoke up and said to him, well, where are you from? And I forget where he said, but I said, well, why are you here if you hate this country so much, if you think America's so bad? He looked at me as if, how dare you challenge me? Yeah, I challenge you. I sure do. I was at a Tea Party rally one time out in Arizona, and this guy who was a security guard started doing the same thing. You know, America, you know, America, the Tea Party, and you know, just grumbling. And I looked at him and said the same thing. I said, so you're not an American, obviously. I'm not an American. I mean, like, I'm not an American. I said, well, then why are you here? And he kind of looked at me as if, I said, because, you know, we are a free country, which means every day there are boats and planes leaving for people who want to go. So if you're that unhappy, I suggest you do. And there were people standing around who said, "Amen, brother." You know? I can't abide this stuff. You come here and you enjoy the benefits of our country. You enjoy the freedom. You enjoy the high standard of living. You enjoy the freedom of speech. All these things that America provides. And then you got the nerve to want to stand around and grumble about our country and how bad it is. Well, then leave. Okay, I didn't mean to get off on that, but you know, enough, really, enough. But look, there's no question that with this Venezuelan earthquake, the country that people are going to most be looking to help those people in Venezuela, whose stupid leaders led them down the path of socialism, which is going to make their recovery that much harder. But who are they going to be looking to for help? The United States of America, our government and our citizens. That's right. And praise God, we have the wherewithal to be able to help people around the world, although frankly, we get very little thanks for it. I'm sure you all are as gratified as I am by these soccer players. Of course, they call it football, but who have come from other parts of the world, and they're experiencing America for the first time through their own eyes because everything they've heard, some of them say, yeah, we were told how bad America is, and America's a terrible place, and the people are mean. And we come here, we love it. You know, we love the people. We love the food. We love the freedom. We love the beauty. I mean, they realize, oh my, we've been lied to about America. Yes, the world has been lied to about us. But the people who are living in difficult, dangerous circumstances are all trying to come, not to China, not to Africa, not to India, but to the United States of America. And we understand that. Did you all know, leaving aside illegal aliens crossing our borders, you all know we bring in 1 million people a year legally. We allow 1 million people a year to come in legally. And I'm not talking about the little special HB1 projects and all that, trying to get people in on special arrangements to work at companies. I'm talking about just in the normal course, people who want to emigrate to America. We bring in about 1 million a year. And do you know 90% of those people come from non-European countries? Only 10% come from Europe. And yet, you know, they tell us that Howard Zinn's projects describes America's immigration policy as racially exclusive. I mean, it's a lie out of the pit of hell. We bring in more people annually than any other nation on earth. And we don't do it by racial classification. Now, I think we probably ought to do it by ideological classification, frankly, and stop bringing these people here in here who hate our country. But that's another matter. So, I mean, you know, I don't even want to hear it. Rosie O'Donnell, you know, you snuck back in. Why don't you sneak right back out and go back to Ireland? I mean, you think that's such a great place to live? By the way, speaking of Europe, folks, you know, on my truth tour, I've been doing some research, trying to, you know, marshal what I know to be facts, but getting the documentation. You all know in France right now, they're having a crisis of air conditioning. Did you all know that only 10% of the people in France have air conditioning? You know how many people in America have air conditioning? What percentage? 90%. Our poor have air conditioning. Did you know that 50 to 175,000 people in Europe die every year from heat exhaustion because they lack air conditioning? A, because they don't have the money, and B, because climate change ideology has said, you know, air conditioning is bad. It's going to destroy the planet. But their people die. Now, you know what? I didn't choose to be an American, but I'll tell you what. If I'd been given the choice, I would have said, yes. Yes, Lord. That's where I want to be. This is E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. You're on the Hamilton Corner. Stand by. We'll be back in just a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Verses 10 and 11 of John chapter 10. Jesus is the good and the great shepherd. He's the greatest shepherd there ever was. He's a shepherd that can be trusted. John chapter 12, verse 49. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. The Lord Jesus Christ himself in his earthly ministry continually trusted his heavenly Father, his great shepherd, for wisdom, for guidance and direction at every step of his life. He wasn't trying to do his own thing. He was simply trying to follow his heavenly Father. And Jesus, again, stands as a great role model for each of us.
How would you describe the state of happiness, the state of being truly content? Well, I like a definition of happiness I read that says happiness is a way station between too little and too much. To me, that suggests a person is happiest when he is focused on very important goals in life and has just what he needs to accomplish them. The Apostle Paul had a similar perspective when he said he had learned the secret of being content, whether he had little or had a lot. In other words, his happiness wasn't dependent on what he possessed, but on being in God's will. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover God's secret of happiness on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
So yes, in just 5 days, we'll be celebrating the 250th anniversary of our country, and that's great news. I'm so glad and grateful to God to be alive to see this, and grateful to God that we have a president who doesn't mind celebrating, although we have a lot of celebrity types and a lot of people were saying, they're not going to celebrate July 4th. Why would I do that? And why? I mean, you know, just go hide in a hole, man. Just, you know, I mean, just bury your head in the sand, whatever you're going to do. But just leave the rest of us alone to have a good time. By the way, the other good news is we're coming to the end of this so-called, this abomination they call Pride Month. I call that PRIDE is the acronym for perverse, raunchy, illicit, depraved, and evil. Yeah, that's what the acronym is for. Perverse, raunchy, illicit, depraved, and evil. So glad to see it go, and glad that finally the President of the United States got a full revelation. He's never done too much with it, but he kind of acknowledged it in the past, got a full revelation, and this time he's not doing anything with it. No proclamation, thank God. I don't think he issued a proclamation in the past, but he would, you know, tweet something out or put something out on Truth Social after Truth Social came into being, you know, kind of acknowledging it. But he stopped that because I think he realizes that whole movement undermines the spiritual, the moral, and cultural vitality and health of our nation. It's a bad thing. Homosexuality is not something to be celebrated. Transgenderism is not something to be celebrated. These things are not right or good or normal. They are wrong and bad and abnormal. And see, I could not say that. I couldn't say that on Fox. They wouldn't want me to say that on Newsmax, but it's the truth. And it's about time Christians, no matter where we are, began to acknowledge that. And if enough of us acknowledge that, we would open up the floodgates so that Christians could express ourselves without being censored or without losing our jobs, without being demoted, without being suspended, without being told, we need to get you into sensitivity training because your thinking is not right. I mean, this is what they try to do to our kids in school. Indoctrinate them into believing that what is wrong is right. Isaiah 5, 20 and 21, putting good for evil, evil for good, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter, darkness for light, light for darkness, wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. No, thank you. I'll take the word of God, because Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Well, look, the president won. And by the way, in the next segment, I want to start taking your calls, and you can reflect on your love for this country and maybe on trying to understand, because, you know, some of the polls coming out, folks, are just absolutely devastating in terms of the increasing number of people, particularly on the Democrat side, who are not proud of America, who don't want to celebrate America. If I have a chance, I'll get into some of that with you, some of the data, because it's devastating. But thank God, conservatives, mainly Republicans, continue to love our country, honor our country, to be extremely proud of our country. But the president won two victories in the Supreme Court. First of all, the Supreme Court, well, actually, this one he didn't win, but he did win one. I should say he won one. But the Supreme Court is going to allow counting mail-in ballots. I guess I was thinking it was a victory, because if you read the dissent in this case, I read the case, it's about 50-some pages long, but I was really curious about the reasoning. And by the way, sadly, Amy Coney Barrett sided with the liberals. Boy, we get a lot of that, don't we? We get a lot of that. And of course, John Roberts did, but that's no surprise. But Amy Coney Barrett sided with them. And so they won this decision hands down, of course, with the usual conservative stalwarts opposing the decision. And writing the dissent, Justice Alito wrote it. Justice Clarence Thomas joined him. Neil Gorsuch on the right side this time. He wasn't in Bostock, but on the right side this time. And Justice Brett Kavanaugh. I think Kavanaugh seems to be more reliable than Gorsuch or Amy Coney Barrett, to tell you the truth. But boy, Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito, Lord, let them live forever. I mean, really. I hate to see those two, because they are consistent and they are strong and they are principled. But they argued, I think it's the right argument, that if you count ballots 5 days after the election, why not 6 days? Why not 7 days? Why not 2 weeks? Why not a month? I mean, what's the cutoff? They argued that what the Constitution calls for in terms of election day is that votes must be cast and counted on or before that day. And what they basically said was, if you count votes 5 days after, it's the equivalent of allowing people to keep voting beyond election day. Oh, well, no, but they put it in the mail. But you don't, that would be like saying, I could walk into the voting booth on election day, get a ballot, fill it out, and hold it for 5 days before turning it in. Because that's really what, isn't that logically what a mail-in ballot is? You claim to have casted your ballot, but you can hold it, well, in this case, the post office is holding it for you, for 5 days before you have to turn it in. I mean, it's the equivalent, which means I'm not really voting on election day. I'm voting sometime after, because I haven't voted until that vote is collected and counted. And I think they're right about this. But sadly, again, Amy Coney Barrett decided that she was going to stand with the liberals. And of course, John Roberts is unreliable anyway. I don't know, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, he is a leaky vessel at best. So at any rate, I that one we didn't win, and that's sad, because we definitely don't need, I mean, this mail-in ballot stuff is nothing but an opportunity for corruption. But we did win this one, thank God, that the president has the ability to remove any agency head. Now, they balked a little bit on the Federal Reserve, and I don't quite understand why, because this woman who challenged President Trump's right to remove her really has won the day. And again, I don't know why, because I don't see why the Federal Reserve should be treated any differently than any other agency. So they made an exception for the Federal Reserve, and they used the history of its semi-independence. But they also argued that he can remove people in other semi-independent agencies that he's responsible for appointing people to. Well, if he's responsible for appointing people to those agencies, he can remove those people at will, not for cause, but at will. I just don't like you. I don't trust you. I don't want you in that place anymore. And you can remove them. I mean, that's the prerogative of any CEO, any executive, right? Why should the president be denied that? So, and he's not. They've affirmed his right to do that for all other agencies, but they balked on the Federal Reserve. So right now, the president's ability to remove somebody from the Federal Reserve has got to be for cause, and that cause would have to be upheld by a court, or that person could not be removed, which I think is horrible policy. But so he won about, you know, I mean, he won for everything else. So I guess really the good news is he won most of one case. The bad news is he lost another one. I'll tell you what, folks, I think that another loss is coming down the pike. I think that the president is going to lose on birthright citizenship. I think we're all going to lose on that. And I think that the answer is a constitutional amendment. I think that's the answer, because I don't think the Supreme Court is going to uphold that. Let me see what I can get to before the break. By the way, I'll be taking your calls in the next segment. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. A couple of little current event stories about two ne'er-do-wells, two clowns. One is Texas Democrat Tallarico. You know, at his rally, did you see this? Did you see the news clips from this? Some guy, who is this guy? He's running for the state's land commissioner, Ben Flores. He gets up and says, and I'm quoting, "When they say that James is a gay, tofu-eating vegan, we're all gay tofu-eating vegans." Well, no, actually, we're not. You know, I mean, where do these people come up with this stuff? He says, "And when they say James is going to hell, we'll say we're all going to hell." And you know what I say to that? Buddy, you said it. I didn't. I hope he doesn't go to hell. But that's one of the dumbest confessions a person could ever make. Because James Tallarico, unless he repents and stops blaspheming God and ascribing to God things that are completely disrespectful and dishonorable, he is going to hell. And this guy who is confessing, we're all going to hell with him. Yeah, he is. These people don't know what they're saying. They really don't. Because if they did, they would repent in sackcloth and ashes. But then there's this other clown, Senator Raphael Warnock, who goes to a synagogue in L.A. and tells the synagogue in L.A., "Oh, Lord, please have mercy upon our beloved country and some of these idiots that end up in office." But he tells the synagogue that the black church is transphobic and homophobic and really needs to repent of this. And get this, folks, but this guy's taking a page out of Tallarico's book. He says, because transphobia and homophobia are violence, not only against humanity, but against divinity. It is an offense to the glory of God. Now, can you imagine that? First of all, these words, transphobia, homophobia, are made up words because nobody is afraid of homosexuals and nobody's afraid of so-called transsexual, but you can't really transition from one gender to another, one sex to another, but nobody's afraid of them. We object because they are wrong And we don't want our culture being dragged into that moral depravity and that abyss of confusion. It's not fear. It's frankly righteous indignation. And to suggest that being opposed to what the Bible condemns somehow is an offense to the glory of God? Well, he might as well join Flores and Tallarico and say, I'm going to hell too, because that's exactly where he's going. Folks, let me just say, and I don't speak this way very often, but I just got to say this. Tallarico, I think he went to divinity school, didn't he? He claims to be some kind of minister of or something. I don't know what it claims to be. But Raphael Warnock is a pastor at Ebenezer Church, the historic Ebenezer Church in Atlanta. Anybody who goes to that church is going to a church that is led by a demonic human being. This man is not a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This man is a servant of Satan. And I said it, and I believe it, and I'm not taking it back. This man is a servant of the devil. And he wrote a book telling the church that the church needed to learn from Karl Marx. I kid you not. Marx is an atheist who hated Christianity, and he's telling the church needed to learn from Karl Marx. Now, he could repent and go to heaven too, but I tell you what, in his present state, He is going to bust hell wide open, because that's exactly where he's going in his present condition. I mean, again, blaspheming the glory of God. God, Jesus said, in the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife. That word wife in the Greek is a word that can mean woman as well, but Jesus said, male and female, that's it, that's all. There's no such thing as trans. And you're saying that opposing these policies that would mutilate children surgically and inject them with hormones and force girls to stand around in a shower with a boy with full male genitalia, violating her privacy and her sense of bodily security, that opposing all of that is an offense to the glory of God, you lying false prophet. And I tell you, if anybody who goes to that church is listening to me right now, you need to get out of there and never look back. You need to go someplace where you're going to hear the word of God and become a true disciple of Jesus Christ instead of a disciple of the devil. Because that's exactly what this man is, and that's exactly what he's teaching other people to be. And you know, the Bible says those who would be teachers shall have the greater punishment. And he's claiming to be a teacher, and he's teaching people the opposite of what the Word of God teaches. And he had the nerve to say, I have to chasten my own community. What own community? The community of devils? What's he talking about? Is he talking about black so-called Christians? Because I am a Christian. I happen to be black. I'm not a member of whatever community he's talking about. Because I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, not a disciple of Satan, which is what he is. Folks, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. When we come back, I'll begin to take your calls. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Stand by. Coming back.
I want to talk about Israel. So, Robert, is this the end of the world we're seeing?
What I can answer, you know, Matthew 24:36 says, no man knows the hour or the day. But I think things are absolutely being set up for what will be the end of times. And what people don't realize is this is ultimately a spiritual conflict.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio. AFA Stream is a resource for life-changing instruction and information, a source of wholesome entertainment and relaxation, plus access to some of your favorite AFA shows. You can watch a lot of content for free, or you can become a Great Commission partner. Then you'll not only open the door to everything AFA Stream has to offer, you'll get benefits like a subscription to The Stand and some really nice exclusives. Why not get started today? It's easy. Visit stream.afa.net.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. I'll be coming to your calls in just a moment. One more quote that you'll probably find shocking. Senator Raphael Warnock, pastor of the historic Ebenezer Church in Atlanta, says, quote, "I'm a pro-LGBTQ plus pastor who understands that no one is free until we are all free." Well, wow. What do we need Jesus for? Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But Jesus was obviously wrong. Pastor Raphael Warnock knows better. He says, no. We've got to make sure that homosexuals and transgenders are free, whatever that means. I guess free to be as sexually deviant as they choose to be, or otherwise none of us is free. Well, no, thank you. I will take the freedom that Jesus gives me. And he said, that freedom is the freedom from Satan and the freedom from bondage in sin. And I'll take that freedom over anything that Raphael Warnock is promising us right now. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. By the way, in my Truth Tour, I'm covering some of these lies of American history. And if you'd like me to come to your church or your organization, get in touch with us at 757-375-6444. That's 757-375-6444. Or you can email us at truthtour@standinc.net. That's truthtour@standinc.net. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's come to your calls. Let's go to Jason in Texas. Jason, welcome.
Hey, Brother Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. I know you're blessed. I'm blessed as well, brother. Like you said, man, my freedom comes from God. My freedom doesn't come from government. And I wanted to mention two things. I wanted to reassure you that there will not be a Tallarico in Texas. You know, we're the country of the Alamo. They would have to go around to every cemetery in Texas and get all the dead boats to get a Tallarico in Texas. So that's a no. And second thing, I wanted to ask you, have you seen the documentary? It's called The Burning of Minneapolis. I believe it's The Burning of Minneapolis.
No, I haven't.
All right, you got to go look that up, and it's like an hour and 42 minutes long. I watch it, the fall of Minneapolis.
Oh, okay, the fall of Minneapolis, okay.
Yes, okay. Sir, and you'll see all of George Floyd's past and how Derek Chauvin really wasn't kneeling on his neck. He was kneeling on his shoulder. But God bless you, brother. Okay. We love you.
God bless you, Jason. Love you too, brother. Good to hear from you again. Let's go to Starla in Louisiana. Starla, welcome. Starla? Okay. Maybe we don't have Starla right now. Stand by, Starla. We'll try to come back to you. Let's go to Patrick in Mississippi. Patrick, welcome.
Yes, sir. And to echo the previous caller, be God blessed, and I know you are, but what I'm seeing here and what I'm hearing here is this is the devil at work. Obviously, everything he does is a counterfeit. So the transgender, all of that, is nothing but a counterfeit. But the other thing, too, that I wanted to comment on is in terms of the Federal Reserve and why they probably ruled like they did, that's not a governmental agency. It was propped up by the oligarchs, and I say the oligarchs. They had that meeting on Jekyll Island to prop up the Federal Reserve. So in doing so, that's a private institution. It's not federal. So because it's not actually a part of the big government, I'm sure it was more politics as to the reason they ruled as they did.
All right. Well, whatever reason they ruled as they did, Patrick, and by the way, thank you for the call. Whatever reason they ruled as they did, I think they ruled wrong because, you know, what they say is we don't want the president to have influence over the Federal Reserve, but nobody elected the Federal Reserve to run the American economy. We elect the president of the United States to lead in that regard. And so when you slap his hands and say, well, you can't touch them, you can't say anything to them, then you are essentially affirming a power independent of the people of the United States of America. And I just think that they are completely and totally wrong about that. Thank you for the call, though. Let's go to Tim in Arkansas. Tim, welcome. Tim, are you there? Okay, we'll stand by with Tim. Let's see if we can get Pauline from Virginia. Pauline.
Yes, good evening. It's actually Colleen with a C, and I'm a grateful American Army veteran. It's my first
thank
time
you
listening
for your
to
service,
you on the
Colleen.
Radio.
Thank you for your service,
thank,
dear.
Thank you for acknowledging that. My father's also a Vietnam veteran, and he said when he joined back in 72, they weren't thanking him back then, but they are thanking us nowadays. And I'm actually driving on my way to D.C. to work at the FIFA event that I've been working at all week. I live in Virginia Beach. And it's just very reassuring to hear someone on the radio speaking the truth about Christian values and about American values because, you know, working in the Capitol, it's all people from all over the world, okay? And I hear people saying that, you know, they don't want to be in America, they're not grateful, stuff like that, and I'm with you, telling them, go back to wherever you came from. If you don't like it in America, because I served proudly for 12 years, Amen. And my mom, she immigrated legally from Ireland, you know, met my father and, you know, became an American citizen the right way. And she left Belfast, Ireland because of the troubles, because mm-hmm. she had to. She lost her mother at 16. She's the oldest of 10. She brought all her family to America, and now they are all successful. So I'm a proud Amen. Christian American, and to hear you speaking the truth on the radio, it makes me want to cry.
Well, Colleen, God bless you, and God bless your family, and it's so great to hear from you. And again, thank you for your service. Thanks for the call. You know, folks,
thank you for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you, Colleen. Thank you. You know, folks, one of the things that's so wonderful about America, and I talk about this in the Truth Tour, you know, I really believe Colleen's mother and her ancestors didn't get here because of the troubles of Ireland. They got here because God divinely ordained that we would be Americans. Because let's face it, now, all the Irish didn't come here. All the Africans didn't come here as slaves. All the Italians didn't come here. But a select few did to establish this great country we call the United States of America. And we have been blessed beyond measure. I often say, you know, when you're born an American, I'm not talking about this birthright citizenship nonsense, but when you're actually born an American, you hit the proverbial lottery. You really did. You are blessed beyond measure because you have opportunity that the whole world envies. So, you know, I've said, by the way, we've got some open lines. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And we've got some time, too, to get your calls. But I've said, when you think about how this nation was assembled, this was the hand of God, folks. And people came from different places for different reasons, but somehow they were drawn here. And that was God's providence. In fact, you know, I say this is the only continent on earth and the only nation on earth that has no indigenous people. And I say that, and people say, well, wait. The Native Americans are indigenous. No, they are not. They are not indigenous. They are here. They were here. They were the first to settle here. They came here before the European ships began to arrive here, but they are not indigenous. Their DNA proves that they come from East Asia. They come from China. They come from Japan. They come from Asia. And they emigrated here. They came across the Beringian Bridge before the Bering Strait was covered with water. They walked across, came to what we now call Alaska, and then migrated down into North America, South America. They're not indigenous to this continent. Nobody is. We are all Americans because all of our ancestors came from somewhere else. That means we're united not by demography and not by race, but we're united by principle. The belief that all of us are created equal and endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You know, we could all claim to be victims. Oh, my people came from as a result of the potato famine, and my people came from as a result of slavery, and my people came because of wars, and my people came. Well, okay, but what are you going to do with this opportunity that your people have provided you by going through whatever they went through to get here? That's the question now. Not moaning and groaning about what happened to our ancestors, but rejoicing in what God can do with us here in the United States of America. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Dwight in Texas. Dwight, welcome.
Yeah, hello, D.W. I'm really glad to be here. I saw something this Sunday on a television where they had the pastor was he was a what do they call him, chaplain in the military. Mm-hmm. And he was giving the service, and then there was one other fellow that gave a presentation. He was also from the military, and they were in uniform, and I thought that was something that all of us Vietnam vets and anybody else, whatever war they're into in the past, should stand up and be proud to wear their insignias or whatever they have.
Amen.
Let people know that we're around, that we really support our president. We support what he's trying to do and support our country. Mm-hmm. The mission that it has ahead of it.
Amen. Dwight, thank you for your service, and thank you for the call. You're absolutely right. I certainly wear my Marine Corps insignia, my Marine Corps hat. I am not ashamed. I am proud of my service to my country, and only wish I could have done more. In fact, I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. I did not go to Vietnam. I thought I was going, but they were winding down. I joined in 73, so they were winding things down at that point. So very few people who joined when I did ended up going. It was mainly those who joined in the late 60s and maybe very, very early 70s, like 70, maybe 71. But by the time I joined in 73, they were winding it down. But you're right. Vietnam veterans are some of the most treated veterans in the history, mistreated veterans in the history of our country. But we honor you, Vietnam veterans. Thank you so much for your service. And thank you for the fight that we continue to have against the forces of communism that are trying to take over this world and take over our country. All right, let's come back to the phones. Let's go to PV in Virginia. PV, welcome.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. God bless you, Bishop. Yes, indeed. Amen and amen. I thought that I heard over the air that the voting had to be, mail-in voting had to be postmarked by the date of the election for mail-in. I'd like for you to verify or clarify, if you could, about that. And you keep on preaching, and you keep on telling the truth.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Verla. Great to hear from you, as always. God bless you. Yeah, that's the law, but they don't follow it. And in California, they don't. It, you do not have to prove the postmark on the ballot. See, that's part of the problem. Because they're simply not interested in voter integrity. I mean, you know, California right now, I'm sure you all know, L.A. was proposed having non-citizens vote. New York, same thing. D.C., same thing. So they're not interested in voter integrity or election integrity. They're interested in power. Wow, the lines are full and the time is running out. But let me try to get in what I can here. Let's go to Larry in Indiana. Larry, welcome.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you. I really do enjoy whenever you get to be on.
Thank you. It
just occurred to me when in the discussion about folks worrying about where they come from, what their origins are. And I was just reminded that we, all of us, really want to be more concerned about where we're going. Because we're all going somewhere.
Larry, that's going to do it. But, brother, I couldn't think of a better way to close the program. That's right. We need to be more concerned about where we're going than we are about where we came from. God bless you. God bless all of you. Thank you so much. I hope you all have, if I don't get to talk to you before, I hope you have a wonderful 250th celebration of our country. In the meantime, stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.